Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Yo, what? I already feel it. What, man?
You watch Empire?
You know what's crazy? I watched the whole first season, and I remember the season finale of the first season was two parts.
Oh, okay.
And I lost interest smooth in the middle of the first part.
I think I stopped after, like, they killed the first nigga. So, like, it might have been episode four, two? Like,
wow.
Was Malik Yoba on that joint? Malik, when they killed Malik after like two episodes and it was just all musical shit, like I just couldn't. I personally could do better things with that hour of my time.
Yo.
But I bring it up, you know what I mean? Because I was driving over here before I drove. I watched this video on Twitter about Terrence Howard.
Okay.
Head Maine in Chief.
Yeah.
Head of State. Head, you know, Maine head of State of all Maineness.
Yeah, man.
Said he was no longer going to be on Empire.
What?
And I don't know how to feel about it, but I don't even know what to feel about it even more after what he said on a red carpet at this event. So, Alexi, if you could play up the audio, hoping that BMO, could help me decipher what he was talking about.
Terrence Howard here. You made huge headlines when you said after you complete these 15 episodes of Empire, you got to walk away for a while or forever.
For good. I mean, everyone keeps trying to tell me, don't say it's forever. But I've spent 37 years pretending to be people so that people can pretend to watch and enjoy what I'm doing when I've made some discoveries in my own personal life with the science that, you know, Pythagoras was searching for. I was able to open up the flower of life properly and find the real wave conjugations that we've been looking for 10,000 years. Why would I continue, you know, walking on water for tips when I've got an entire generation to teach a whole new world?
That's a big remark. Yeah. What do you intend to do?
Well, let me put it this way. All energy in the universe is expressed in motion. All motion is expressed in waves. All waves are curved. So where does the straight lines come from to make the Platonic solids? There are no straight lines. So when I took the flower of life and opened it properly, I found a whole new wave conjugations that expose the in-between spaces.
People, what the fuck is the flower of life, bro? I was hoping you could tell me.
You know,
I know you're from the south, so that's one of your niggas. So I was hoping that you could tell me.
You know, I'm a deep ass nigga, right? You know, I'm a deep ass nigga, and I try looking this shit really hard.
Yo, I be trying.
And for a second, when he said trying to do what Pythagoras was doing, which is true, Pythagoras was like a person, but he was also a cult leader, a cult of knowledge. I was ready, but man. I'm over here crying, laughing right now. What the fuck was this nigga talking about?
What chapter is the conjugal waves come in, bro? What does that mean?
He said, the how do we make platonic structures?
Platonic solids, nigga.
Oh, my God.
Platonic solids.
Oh, my God.
That's the name of the episode.
Yo, I got a really funny story, though. When I was at Howard, Terrence Howard was, I think he was trying to release his first album, and I was in a marching band, and he came to campus during homecoming, I think, of 2009, he said he wanted to perform with the band. It's a very Howard thing. We've had them Franchise Boys. We've had Chuck Brown did my first performance or whatever. So
it's a diverse portfolio.
Right. So 2000, right. Chuck Brown and them Franchise Boys.
What and Terrence Howard's debut album, my nigga.
Right. Right. So Terrence Howard, this is not a joke. Terrence Howard, in order to perform with the band, you got to practice with the band, right?
Right.
So Terrence Howard, one day, he comes into the band room and we're performing. And we start playing Whoop That Trick, and he's singing Whoop That Trick. It's around that time, right? And so then we're all hyping, we're all crunk, we're all. And then he sets us down. He says he wants to have a serious conversation. This nigga goes on at least a 30 to 45 minute conversation. This is how he starts the conversation. This is no bullshit. You can fact check me with my band friends. He says, do you know how many sperm died for you to get here? That was the person. And then he gave us a 30 to 45 minute speech about how your sperm was lucky enough and how some sperm are shot up in the club to block and some sperm are supposed to get to the end.
Niggas be hating, bro.
Niggas be hating. So to hear him talk about the flower of life and Pythagoras' theory and platonic solids, you know what I mean? I'm not surprised. I don't know why that nigga just say, I don't want to be Lucius no right. more. Why can't you like, just
I'm
say
like,
that?
I'm like, is my man auditioning for some new shit? Like, know. Is he like debuting? You know how niggas dropped the single? Was like that the single for the next?
I don't know.
For the next joint,
I don't
bro.
Know, man. Like, I'll say that's very consistent of Terrence Howard, though. That shit was wild.
Who this? Who in the building? Guess pulling up out the random.
Oh, it's
Still Wavy in the building, bro.
Still is in the house.
That's crazy.
Oh, shit. But you know what? Sheesh. Yo, but, oh man, well, we do the same thing every week, bro. I forgot again. Welcome to the Over the Shoulder podcast. This is your chance to eavesdrop on three professional creators as we discuss the sources, happenings, and inspirations of the creative industry, from film to production to music to culture. Join us each week as we push the envelope on the possibilities of the creative industry. Our host for this week, of course, is your main man, 20 Grand BMO Brown on the mic, creative director. Shit. What's popping, everybody? And then, of course, to my right, we got my main man, 100,000 grand, Mr. Backpack Mac. What's up, son?
Partner himself, Backpack Mac, a.k.a. Mr. Backpack, Mr. SBO.
And happy to just joining us in the building right now, smelling like the freshest of Southeast breakfast.
Yes.
We got my main man, Still Wavy, in the building. What's up, man?
Everything good, man. Off a fresh flight of Yummy Some Fresh Gas. It's a good technical lemonade.
Just landed. As always, we're coming to you live from the lobby of the Line Hotel right here on Full Service Radio. We got the producer extraordinary in the booth, Miss Alexia. Hey, girl. Hey.
Hello.
What's up, Lexi?
Hi. Good to see you again.
You too.
Loving it.
Coming to you live straight out of Chocolate City. What's happening?
What's left of it?
Huh?
We here, though.
You know what I'm saying? We oat milk.
The culture's still rich.
Yo, you fucked me up with that. You fucked me up with that. But it's time for the word of the day. Today's word of the day is brought to you by dictionary.com. Each week we like to improve our vocabulary by issuing a new word into our vernacular. Mm-hmm. This week's word is
the vocabulary.
Isobar. Noun. Isobar. A line drawn on a weather map or chart that connects points at which the barometric pressure is the same.
I'm gonna be honest, my nigga. I looked that shit up in advance. I don't really got a question. I don't got nothing for it.
Well, the pressure is. I feel like we could make a metaphor about an isobar.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. I'm not a rapper.
We're gonna come back to it.
We're gonna come back to it.
Isobar. Look that shit up, man. Expeditiously. Shout out to T.I.'s podcast. Have y'all been listening to that?
I have not listened to it. It's called Expeditiously, right?
Expeditiously.
Is it good?
It's amazing. Y'all should. I mean, I know you're about to go too deep, okay. But in relation to this, after you listen to BMO talk his shit, and after this episode, go check out T.I.'s podcast. Expeditiously, he has a great conversation with Killer Mike post the Revolt Summit.
Nice.
But yeah, man, just wanted to drop that gem for y'all to check out and listen to that podcast. He got Variety, got Young Thug on there. He got DC Young Fly.
What?
Real cool conversations, man, especially creatives like ourselves like to get a peep over the shoulder through the blind. So it's part of that.
You know, somebody said that T.I. wasn't a legend for real.
He's an urban legend.
That's kind of the whole myth, the light, the all that. He's the myth, the light, all that.
Arguably, one of the creators of the nominal sense trap music.
Yeah.
The original where they said that whole debate, where did trap music come from between like Gucci and G's, but really T.I. He dropped that joint, came out the game with it.
Right. I mean, the name of your album that.
Right.
And that for that to be a classic as well. Before any of those other artists got that type of success.
That Rubber Band Man.
Facts.
Oh, don't get me started. Don't get me started still.
Indubitably.
Get me started, baby.
Indubitably.
Probably. Anyway, y'all mind if I go too deep,
go ahead,
man? As a content creator, I find it pivotal to constantly investigate that which inspires, confounds, and disrupts creativity. Each week, I'm going to explore one creative concept, deconstructive to its creative atoms, and analyze its foundations in hopes of expanding the creative process. This week, I played a fun little thought experiment with myself, right? And I want to try something out for the first time. So I'm going to put this segment up on the Instagram. And I want to see what the people are thinking. What the over-the-shoulder eavesdroppers are listening to.
I like that.
All right? So peep this game. Given current circumstances, what if black folks had their own government? Oddly enough, this hypothetical question popped into my mind while I was watching a mini documentary on anxiety. One of the cures of anxiety that they use in the psychotherapy world is a type of therapy that allows you to visualize the worst parts of your anxieties. So that thought, I was having a little Southeast breakfast, that thought led me to think that maybe extrapolating the results of black political power might make black political power more plausible. Right? Last week during my Tools of the Trade, I discussed with you very briefly that memory is a function of both the past and the future. If we allow ourselves to imagine something that hasn't happened yet, our memory says that's the same function that we'd be able to project the future. So let's play with our imaginations for a little while. The first question is always so fun. What if we had our own nation? That's always a fun question, but I want you to think about, in this term, I always think about the repercussions. Franz Fanon, French philosopher, black dude, says that decolonization, or in this case, secession from a nation, is always coupled with violence. So our independence would be the result of violence or gifted. I want you to think about that for a second. Second question. Who would come to our black nation? Or better yet, how would we establish citizenship and immigration? Think about folks like Tiger Woods and Raven Simone who have denounced their blackness. Do they get in? What about the I'm not black, I'm mixed folks? Are we on some Voldemort shit and judging people by the purity of their blood? Third question, the most interesting to me, is what type of government would we establish? Knowing the culture, that's a fun thought experiment for myself. Just real quick background, I went to school for political science. One of my favorite things about learning is learning how people organize, and unfortunately that represents itself in government. So I wrote down a couple of government types and maybe some black cultural connections that could make the thought experiment a little easier. So I have monarchs, right? There are two types of monarchs. There's an absolute monarch, which means there's a king and queen, right, telling us what the fuck to do. Right. And then there's the constitutional monarch, which means there's a king and a queen. Then we also have a body of people. Right. So I'm thinking, like, what if Black Nation was ruled by the Queen Beyonce, or ruled constitutionally with the Queen Beyonce and the Beehive as the Congress? See, my man Matt just turned his face up. We wouldn't vote for it, but that's the that's the type of government. Yeah. Second type of government, a straight-up democracy. Like America, we could do a republic democracy where we vote for an individual who represents our complaints, our concerns, the things we want to change. Last episode, I said it would be really dope if I could vote for Charlemagne the God to be my black cultural senator. Therefore, he could represent my interests. Might not always be right. Sometimes it might get a little messy, but I trust him with my opinion. Or could we do, because we know the culture, every nigga want to be heard. Could we do a direct democracy? Everybody download an app and everybody put in their motherfucking opinion.
Put in their ticket, put in their complaint. You got to put in your ticket.
You got to put in your ticket and you got to wait and you got to talk to Miss Wanda, who's going to talk to you with a little sass to work out your complaint.
Send you on That's another
situation. Right. Socialism. Here's my issue with black socialism. My only concern with black socialism. Socialism is a system in which a group of people own something to protect a smaller group of people. My only issue with that is, as black people, what do we own that we could protect other people with? Hmm.
That would be the thing. It would be like we have to find our own, like, that really source of power that we have to protect, like that. We have something. Besides, I mean, our ideas and how cultured we are as people, just to have that extra... I don't know, that sauce, you know what I mean, the other people don't have. You feel me?
Whether if we could package that and own it and therefore protect ourselves with it, then we could do a socialist state. And then the communist state I'm not going to talk about because the government might come get me. Mm-hmm. But all I want to say is, if you have a moment, I'm going to put some clips of this up on Instagram. If you have a moment, take a moment to exercise this thought experiment yourself and let us know it over the shoulder. As a creative, as somebody who can think around various problems and parables, what type of government do you think would be most effective in the black community? And that's Bebo Goes Too Deep. If you can't find it, swim for it, baby. Y'all have any thoughts off the jump?
It's like what role will we play as a sovereign nation in the global perspective?
Oh, that's a great question.
So it depends on where is our sovereign nation? What resources are naturally there?
Right.
That gives us the cards, you know, to play the game.
That's
true. What I mean? So, you know, we really got to think about those aspects as well. Not
That's
just all, we got most of us together now in this one place. What do we do?
Yeah.
You know, plus, you know, with the political ideologies and stuff, I've just been going on these benders trying to research as much on the right side as possible, because I feel like it's important to know, even if you don't agree with people naturally, where the hell they're coming from.
Exactly.
And it's a lot of prolific thinkers when it comes to being black and being conservative in thought. So it's like, even though we're going to be all in the same place together, like, we're still going to have to deal with those ideological issues and stuff. Right. You know what I mean? So
very true. I sometimes I we get so caught up in this thought experiment that we forget that some of the things that can be applied from, like, this hypothetical situation of succession can be applied to actual black political power, like right now. Mm-hmm. And last week, as we were talking about the Revolt Summit, which, again, if you have not watched it, I encourage you to watch a whole hour and 18 minutes of that whole situation.
That shit got real.
One of the last questions that a guy answers from the crowd is, how do we then set an agenda that we can propose to these major parties, whether it be Democrats, whether it be the Independents, whether it be the Republicans? How can we sell ourselves to get the best result of our political power? And I think if you do this thought experiment, you'll see that some of the thoughts and some of the ways that we organize could be beneficial to creating this whole situation. I think it's just, I've been doing what you've been doing, man. I've been hoarding some of this black conservative thought and trying to save it up for a very big, maybe a black conservative special that we'll do, maybe on a live show or something like that. Because I think it's really spicy. And I,
some good questions. A lot of good answers to. Kind of like to piggyback off of what you said. Like, it also, like Matt said, it also, I feel like, really depends on what we have to offer as, like, a nation or sovereign nation, what we bring to the table. Because if we have something that's, like, vibranium, you feel me, like that, something everybody needs, like that type of power, it has that type of power to have that type of control on whatever we might need to do, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, like, different resources, different countries have different types of powers depending on the resources they have, networked with other countries, whatever need resources they need, and outsourcing and vice versa, you know what I'm saying?
Global trade.
Exactly. So it kind of also brings that factor to, like, if we have something that everybody needs, we would have, like, a bigger grasp at hand to be able to control what we need to get this shit done, like the people would actually need.
Right. And if we have it, right, if we have abundant resources or resources that the world is willing to pay top dollar for compared to everybody else who might have it, like, how do we defend it? So then how do we handle military? Then how do we handle funding for military?
Because if that valuable, people, anybody would want to try to take it. We got to protect
it. Right. So then it just becomes, we run into a lot of the same issues. Yeah, I'm glad you brought
this
up.
It becomes like foundational nation state building. Like, do we even have the architectural knowledge to begin the nation ourselves?
Right.
I don't know.
And that thing, too, is like creating a structure like that's compatible with what, like, the type of environment our people we need, you know what I'm saying? Just be able to adapt to everybody.
That's true.
At the same time, might never everybody be happy because we have to make it valuable to everybody. You know what I'm saying? Everybody not be happy.
Right. And you know niggas love to be happy.
Right. But not everybody can get, like, everything they want, because you know, sometimes give somebody an inch, take a mile. So you got to be careful with that.
That's true.
One question that's kind of sub-related to this issue. Like I said, I've been going on my deep dive trying to figure out what people on the right are really saying. And I stumbled upon, just through link hopping and stuff and just binging on my phone, this newfound revelation I found out about minimum wage. Might or might not be true, but, you know, usually black people are in favor of raising the minimum wage because we believe that people should be paid fairly so that they can survive and get, you know, the revenue and income they need to survive in the cities that they live in, right? And if you get rid of this minimum wage, then people will start working jobs for lower than the poverty line, right? Mm-hmm. But what I found out was that minimum wage allegedly first started around, like, 1931, so around Great Depression era, right? But it was because, due to construction and systematic racism in the construction industry. Allegedly, white unionized construction companies, right, were hating on black construction companies because the black construction companies were undercutting them on contracts to get contracts. They were bidding lower prices than the white unionized companies. And so these white unionized workers and unions were losing out on big bread.
Right.
So then they started working with, you know, representatives, government, senators, governors, and whatnot to create this bill to establish a minimum wage.
Right.
Right. So that these black construction and contractors could no longer offer
interest
prices.
So they created
rates lower
than
that.
Already because they got a deal for it. They got the job and gave them a deal on it. So they got the work and put, you know, who knows what more work they could have got off of that. But yeah, they was just mad off that.
Right. So it was built, but allegedly, and I'm still trying to fact check this. I've read this from a couple sources, but it's like the same things that we champion today because we believe that they're morally right may have been established to hold us back.
That's true. That sounds like,
it's a philosophical conundrum. It's like, well, then what do I believe?
Right.
And how much has time played a difference and had an effect on that, you know? So
interesting.
That's got my mind buzzing. But everybody, though, you know
what
I'm saying?
Right, right.
Yeah. Shit, Candace Owens said that in the Revolt. Well, actually, Killer Mike said if we... Just about undercutting the rate. And it seems like the thing that you were just describing was used to hinder, like they set a rate so that we couldn't undercut the rate.
Right. So now we would have to pay a premium on labor that was going to execute the contract.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, when they could have been cool with just taking lesser than this arbitrary minimum wage that was first put in place.
We could talk about this forever.
And if anybody's listening to this and has some historical context that I'm missing, like, hit us up, man. Like, I really want to keep these conversations.
Just new to me. Right. I'm like, I just learned that.
That's interesting to me, man. Yeah. All right. For sure.
All right, cool.
What's in the bag, bro?
What's in the bag?
What you got in the bag, bro? Holy shit.
All right, there it is. There it is. My bag.
There it is.
Hey, I apologize. All right, so it's September 25th. About 2 weeks ago, Variety reported that Netflix is no longer the number one application that is consuming the most bandwidth on the internet.
Yikes.
Picture a pie. And the whole pie is all the traffic on the internet at any point in time that's being downloaded, that's being requested. So you know, requesting a website, requesting a video, podcast, whatever, right? Until now, Netflix would have had the largest slice on the pie. So what replaced it? A catch-all category called HTTP media streaming, which basically covers content directly delivered by content owners, smaller independent websites, cable and TV broadcast companies, etc. Side note, HTTP is basically the internet's protocol or list of instructions to send you the right media, websites, audio, video, documents when you request them on the internet, whenever you press enter or click a link, all right? So it's not looking good for Netflix right now. And that's not the point of this segment entirely, but I will say CNBC reports that as of Tuesday of this week, Netflix stock dropped to -5% year over year. In May, 4 months ago, its stock was up for the year by 46%. So that's a -51% swing in 4 months. Investors are spooked from competitors entering the video streaming market. We've talked about this before. Disney, Apple TV, Comcast, et cetera, et cetera. The point is, the game is wide open. And the people's downloading habits show that smaller platforms can generate demand in the content they produce and exclusively offer. Part of this can be attributed to the know-how, that is, the ability to create, produce, and distribute your own content. Some of this can also be attributed to the rise in piracy security of content. That is, it's harder for people to steal your shit. Creative entrepreneurs who have the infrastructure to build their own within this space can actually make waves and serious money in the space. So a few more interesting facts before I wrap up. Of all internet traffic that people across the world request, about 60.6% is usually video streaming traffic.
Right.
And that's up 3% from 2019.
Huh.
So out of all what we're looking for on the internet across the world, 60.6% of it is video traffic.
I mean, everybody's looking on YouTube for how to do anything.
Exactly.
So that's how I wrote the segment, man. Go ahead, man.
Facts. No, I mean, I'm glad y'all was talking about this. And that's up 3% from 2018. So it's still steady growth. And Netflix has about 13% of downstream traffic. Downstream meaning you're not uploading it. You're trying to get it, right? HTTP media streaming. So this catch-all is at about 17% compared to Netflix 13%. YouTube is at 6.3%.
Uh-oh.
Right? And then you get to Xbox and PlayStation, and those are both equally about 2.6%. So just to give you all context and scope of what's going on the internet. So when people say the internet, what does that really mean? The top five uses of the internet are currently video, web traffic, gaming, social media, and file sharing. So I just hope you learned something, and that's what's in the bag.
Man, drop a gem right there. Yeah, you had a bet. Had a lot in that bag, man. Had the numbers and everything.
Yo, that's actually a great what you said a second ago about it being an awesome opportunity for creatives. You're 100% right. The internet is transforming into like almost like a video library.
Yeah.
It's like and I was noticing like today, I was on my smart TV watching a YouTube video about Aristotle's and Plato's Five Types of Government. Mm-hmm. And that video was actually a study guide for a history teacher's class from 4 years ago.
Right.
So it's just kind of like, okay, I think that is if it's not too late, I think it is an awesome time for you to get on your bag, in the bag, with your videos on the internet. Next.
Yeah, I mean, just
the endless archive of the internet.
This might be cruel. Have y'all seen these payouts from Pornhub, though?
Nah.
Tell me the numbers. I know it's
so. It's like industry. There's this one girl I follow. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think her name is Miss B Nasty or something like that.
Okay.
Right? And Miss B Nasty has done a great job, not only of being nasty, because she's good at that. She's fine.
She be nasty.
But she has also kind of like pulled the curtain back on the amateur porn game.
Okay.
And so she showed like a check of a video that had like 1.3 million views. Because apparently in porn, it's easy to get 1.3 million views. Right. You could do that in like 20 minutes, apparently.
Type shit.
Everybody trying to get their thing on.
Wow, SEO.
So, but she was saying that 1.3 million views netted her like 86 grand.
Sheesh.
Yo, that's crazy.
It's
like YouTube numbers.
Not for real.
That's way like better than YouTube, bro. Yeah. What?
Yeah, YouTube stars compared to porn stars.
She got five videos. She got five videos, and I'm not going to describe the videos. That might be a little crass. Like, but she got five videos. And the thing that be killing me,
niggas be nasty.
The thing that be killing me, people be paying for it.
Right.
Like this ain't just like Pornhub on the homepage.
Subscribers.
No, you got
$25 for selfies, bro.
It doesn't surprise me that individual and private streaming has gone up.
Oh yeah,
doesn't surprise me at all. Have y'all seen these girls with these OnlyFans pages?
They probably taxing. You gotta pay me like a good little 50 to pre-order a slot to stream shit. It ain't even like that.
It's like on the same thing as I feel like I sound like a porn addict.
I mean, that's a billion dollar
study
industry.
To this girl because like if you study porn,
we all probably got a favorite porn star, low key.
I don't. But yeah. No, we're not going there. But if you study porn as a media, you often see kind of like the curb that media is going on.
Right.
And these amateur porn stars, motherfucking Pornhub is doing payouts like this?
Them niggas sure. might
Good own, God.
Bang Bros said that they were trying to put in a bid to own an NFL stadium. It was like
porn is a billion dollars.
Like, the Bang Bros Stadium?
Bang Bros Center, BBC, bro.
With the glory holes? Bang oh, bro. Wow. But anyway, people, we had to overshow the podcast. We got my man Still Wavy in the building. I saw you had a great project that happened over the last weekend, man. Could you give the people some insight?
Because
I think what you did was fantastic.
Appreciate you, man. That's love. Yeah, we had a hell of a project working with the mayor of D.C. Shout out to Mayor Bowser and Small Biz D.C. For the 51st Statehood Project. They did an art installment, and it was part for Art All Night as well. We had eight different artists paint eight different sections of D.C. that we had broken down. All together, comes together for like a 20-foot by 20-foot piece.
So each artist had a ward.
Yeah, each artist had a ward at DC that ultimately came together. So it was like every artist painted them joints and they came out dope. Every artist did their thing, went crazy with it.
Yeah.
And piecing it back together, man, that's a monster, bro.
Yeah, like, I saw, man.
That's like the biggest piece I've ever built yet. And it's probably honestly the biggest collaboration piece I've ever seen personally between like eight different artists and just for one cause, a good cause at that. You know what I'm saying? It's like just crazy and blessed.
So our opportunity for I know you kind of got into the game, and correct me if I'm wrong, like you did a really dope painting while in school. Was it in your teacher or somebody who you
back in when I got creatively into like painting, how I actually like came up with my brand Pulpier. Yeah, it was during painting class. I want to say like sophomore year. Shout out to Mr. Bell, dope artist. His work is crazy himself. But we was working on like an art project at the time. We was doing like learning about art history, and we had a project that whatever artist that we was learning about, we took heed to the most. We was supposed to make a painting inspired by that artist.
Mm-hmm.
And the artist I took heed to the most was Jackson Pollock and Piet Mondrian. So I couldn't really pick one out of the two, so I just used both and put my own little spin on it. And then, ultimately end up making this painting that I years later based my brand Paul PA on, because like I took two names of the artists that inspired me to make the original painting that I did back in high school.
Yeah, conjoined them.
Exactly. So I came with Paul PA.
So you've done paintings, you've produced and created merch, and you're really good at creating physical installments.
Right, and yeah, photography too.
And photography.
Yeah, cutting sew, a little work every now and then too. Yeah.
Word. So how do you, as just a creative entrepreneur, like, how often do you have to dip into different bags to kind of keep the mission forward?
I mean, it's tough. I'm honestly, keep it a stack, I'm still kind of working on balancing it out. But honestly, it kind of, I don't know, it's kind of like the vibe at the time, you feel me? I'm just kind of, I came up on this new build-out specialist type of job, you know what I'm saying? Because I used to work for this assembly company to like, whatever people order from Amazon and shit like that, they called us and put that shit together.
That's what's up, bro. Okay. That's what's up.
You should do that shit. That shit was kind of fun, you know what I mean? Just figuring shit out. And then ultimately just putting a little creative twist on it, you know what I mean? Fuck up with the bro, Chris Pirate, you know what I'm saying? Been curating a lot of dope events and a lot of installations, like we did one for Flower Bomb Fest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did the monument. But yeah, when I picked up this, you know what I'm saying? Kind of just, I don't know, click, you know what I'm saying? I could do it, you know what I'm saying? Once I figured it out, really put my mind to it, it could come together once I sketch it out and then really try to piece everything. So it's been working so far, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to keep the ball rolling four for four right now. So I'm just trying to keep it going, feel me?
Nice. Yeah. So I, I've been having a couple of conversations with some people who are interested in preserving the history of DC. Mm-hmm. And it was actually a conversation that we had on this podcast a few months ago. Make sure y'all check that out. And it said that one of the problems in the DC creative infrastructure is that we don't create enough exportable products. Mm. So with that being said, y'all just did a huge project for DC Statehood, which I think was fucking phenomenal.
Bro, appreciate that shit was fucking phenomenal. Love. Yeah, make the sure team y'all check did a out. Great job. Shout out to those starving artists, man.
How do you make that installation live past just this moment?
Well, what they're actually working on too is, I think that actual piece as a whole is supposed to be installed in, I think, like the MLK library that they're working on building right now.
Wow. So, come on, preservation.
Yeah, so we're working on trying to keep that, give that whole 20-foot piece of home for good, you feel me? Have that really a part of the community. So
that's crazy.
That's in the works right now, so we'll see how that goes, you feel me?
Yeah, that's crazy, man. Do you have any, like, just overall thoughts about DC Statehood?
Man, I think it's a dope thing. I mean, it's kind of been like a little weird space for DC itself as being like the nation's capital, but also as a city, it's run like a state, you know what I'm saying? So it's like it has enough people to be its own state. So honestly, why not? You feel me? So as a community, I think it's about time itself. Apparently, this has been the conversation for like 20-something years, low key.
Yeah, man.
Something like that. Yeah. So seeing it come to fruition for the state, you know, it's a dope thing.
What you think, man?
I know people have said, like, you know, they don't want to put it past 50 states. I don't agree with that.
Is 50?
Yeah, yeah. Taxation, ultimately taxation without representation.
Yeah.
Taxing the people of D.C. who have lived here for generations and decades, but not given the proper representation in Congress and the Senate to fully push through the issues. And for this to be one of the most wealthy areas in the world, really, is kind of ludicrous. Right. I mean, it has systematic implications as well as it pertains to our people. But yeah, I remember, like, even with owning homes, because for the most part, DC is a lot of federal land.
Right.
You know, generations of black families sometimes couldn't own the plot of land
on which
their houses were built. They could own the home, but they couldn't have property rights to the actual plot of land that home was built on, which is kind of crazy.
That's crazy. That's real crazy.
So, you know, I don't really know too much of the downsides yet. I'm still trying to look into that. But for those reasons I've kind of mentioned, like, I'm all for it right now.
Yeah,
for
sure. I think it's a pretty cool idea. What actually gets me really excited is about starting another city.
Yeah.
In D.C. Like, that makes me really excited. Like a Berry Farms, Washington, D.C. That sounds like the a supreme idea. Let me ask you another question, Steele.
Wow.
So you guys just did a project on behalf of the government. As an artist, do you feel like a sellout?
Hell no. Like, we really did. Honestly, like, the bro came with a crazy concept itself. So it's like, we had a lot of just creative control and just the concept itself and where the direction you want to take us. So, you know what I mean? Shout out to bro, Chris, for coming up with the concept and the idea. And it was, unfortunately, the type of time we had was really short. So, in my opinion, there was, like, some last minute changes that were really unfortunate, but we adjusted to them. But, like, for the most part, given the type of vision that they wanted, as big as they wanted, they kind of needed to give us the type of control direction we needed to be able to get the job done like how they want to.
Yeah.
And honestly, I feel like everything came out perfect. You know what I'm saying?
Sweet. From
the idea to execute, they loved it. They loved how it came together. The piece, unfortunately, was just like too massive to have on G Street all together, but we had G Street shut down, had all the pieces like set up with all the artists next to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was dope. It was really dope.
Yeah. That picture with y'all standing in front of it, man, that shit was like some Renaissance shit. It's just gonna be in the history books.
That's the dreams, yo. That's crazy, man. Like, it really goes down in history. You feel me? Like, glad to be a part of history in this whole process for DC statehood. You know what I'm saying? Like, we had a great team of artists, some of the illest artists in the city. Each paint a dope ass piece.
Yeah,
and seeing everything come together like that, man.
That was beautiful.
Crazy. Appreciate y'all, man. Shout out to everybody, man. The team, man. Everybody.
Where can people see this work? I know they're listening and itching to look right now.
Man, you can check it out. You can see some photos on Instagram from your No Star artists, from a lot of the artists like Chris Pirate, Trap Bob, PZ. And
that's my man's right there.
Yeah, it's dope. You know, my homie's real cool. But we're working on getting the whole installation together. So y'all just stay tuned, because there's a lot still coming, a lot still going on. So y'all just stay tuned.
For sure. For sure. We want to get into the tools of the trade, big homie.
Sure. Yeah, we could do that. So, I mean, Wavy, you're not.
Yeah,
you're friends to the show, bro. You know, tools of the trade.
You know how it goes.
What's happening?
Yeah, so I guess I'll go first. Hey, follow me on Instagram at Mr. Backpack. Fully spell out the Mr. You can follow me on Twitter at Backpack Matt. Make sure you follow us, our podcast, at
That's right, baby.
OTS.pod on IG and at OTSpod, no period, for Twitter. I'd say my tool of the trade would be this week. I'm going to say my Bible app. I've really been trying to, be, more consistent about reading what's actually in the Bible instead of, being raised as a Christian and just, you being in church all the time, but not really diving into the to the text. And like, this just goes across my life in general, really trying to dive into the text of what these pillars of ideologies I've been raised to kind of live in and me trying to check them, So Bible app is kind of what I'll pick today. I've been on it for about 52 days straight, just trying to check in.
Oh, yeah.
Thing is consistency. Yeah.
That's what's
up. Yeah, so, I'm trying to, like, be more diligent about that than when I was actually regularly going to church. I don't go to church, unless I'm asked to come and speak to kids or, after church programs and stuff like that. I have my own kind of beliefs on that right now, which we can talk about on another episode.
That's another episode, man. We can go deep on some religion.
But in terms of the text, I really have been going, diving deep, getting some real knowledge out of it that I otherwise wouldn't have gotten before. So,
for sure. And you can follow me on IG and Twitter. It's Steel Wavy, STEELWAVY.
Steel.
And my tool is the trade. Honestly, lately I've been trying to learn about like stones and everything, like different energies, like like Ethemis stones and like hematites. I'm trying to get some knowledge on that because I'm trying to get my energy right. You feel me?
Right.
And one thing that, y'all may know is an important theme to me and life in general is balance. So I came up on these little hematite rings, It's supposed to be good for balance, Having one on each hand to help balance each other out, So
how's it feel?
Shit, it feels pretty chill. I'm not gonna lie, I've been working on this project on the time we had.
You would
think I would have just snapped on motherfuckers, with how crazy it was going. But nah, man, I would kept cool relatively, And then, balanced out, got the job done, mission accomplished.
Yeah.
Word.
That's what's up, man. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, BMO Brown. Follow me on all social media platforms at BMO Brown, B-E-M-O Brown. Make sure y'all check out the website, BMOAuthentic.com, B-E-M-O-Authentic.com. This my tool of the trade, man. I don't know. I've been thinking about it all week. Yeah. I don't know. So maybe my tool of the trade is just
What do you feel like something that just helped you throughout the week?
What helped me this week, bro?
You know what I'm saying? Something like was going kind of bad or kind of left, something that caught you just got you back right.
I don't know, man. I'm telling you, it's been. Oh, I don't know if I can say that on air though. But I did. I have two new acquisitions that are currently growing in my home right now that I'm very excited about.
All right.
And so when the time comes, I'll have a harvest party. And maybe we can carve pumpkins together, if you feel what I'm saying. Or maybe I'll cook y'all breakfast. There we go. That's what I'm trying to say. Somewhere in Southeast. We'll have a breakfast
with my fresh champions. Gardening, though. There you go. That's a nice
gardening, though. But botany is interesting, bro. I did wake up and talk to my two girls, Aisha and Karen. So say what's up.
Aisha and Karen.
For balance, I mean, Aisha and Karen. On the pinkies, my nigga. But as always, make sure y'all follow us at Over the Shoulder Podcast on all social media platforms, OTS Pod. Make sure y'all come back to this very same podcasting station so you can listen to us every week. We coming to you every week. So
where else you gonna get this?
Where else? Nowhere. This is a
and congratulations. My also want to say congratulations on the season 2.
Season 2, baby. It's intentional.
That's what I love to hear, bro. Yeah. Run that shit back, Turbo.
Just had to fuck around with the formula, but
run that shit back, man. Yeah. Give the people what the fuck they want.
Everlasting gobstoppers over here, baby. Come get some more next week. Until then,
magic, you dig.
Peace.
Peace.
It's a brand name. Okay.
's for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.